This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Israel's military Tuesday reported intense fighting in the Khan Yunis area of the Gaza Strip, while the UN Security Council is prepared to vote on an Algeria-drafted resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire, scaled-up aid access, and rejecting the forced displacement of Palestinians in Gaza. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas-Greenfield has said the U.S. would use its Security Council to veto power to block the resolution, which she said could hurt mediation efforts. Ahead of the vote, the U.S. circulated its own draft resolution to council members. Seen by VOA, it places emphasis on the release of the hostages held by Hamas and notes the urgent need for a viable plan to protect civilians from an Israeli offensive in Rafah. The U.S. proposal underscores that such a major ground offensive should not proceed under current circumstances and rejects any other effort at forced displacement to the civilian population in Gaza. The U.S. has no timeline to put its resolution before the council. A senior administration official said the U.S. would give time for the council to negotiate on the text and had no plans to call for an immediate vote. Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi rebels are still able to launch attacks on ships operating in the Red Sea, despite a month of U.S.-led airstrikes. Details from VOA's Tommy McNeil.
This week, they seriously damaged a ship in a strategically important strait and apparently downed an American drone worth tens of millions of dollars. Their assaults on shipping through the crucial Red Sea corridor amid Israel's war on Hamas and the Gaza Strip underscore the challenges in trying to stop their guerrilla-style attacks. Meanwhile, the U.S.-led campaign has boosted the rebels' standing in the Arab world, despite their own human rights abuses and a years-long stalemated conflict with several of America's allies in the region. And the longer their attacks go on, analysts warn, the greater the risk to the global economy. Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
This is VOA News. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov Tuesday denied Russian authorities had anything to do with the death of opposition leader Alexei Navalny last week in a remote Arctic penal colony. The denial comes a day after Navalny's widow, Yulia Navalny, posted a video to social media accusing Russian President Vladimir Putin of poisoning her husband. An alleged official's refusal to hand over the body to her mother-in-law was part of a cover-up. VOA's Russian service reporter Alexei Gorbachev spoke with VOA's International Edition program about what we know about Yulia Navalny.
We don't know much about her political agenda, but in her statement she said that she will continue her husband's crusade against the Russian regime. She said that Navalny sacrificed his life because he really wanted to build a free, peaceful and democratic Russia, and that she will continue this crusade, building this, how she described it and how Navalny described it, a beautiful Russia of the future. And she said that she wants Russian people to join her in this crusade.
A new study published by the journal Nature Communications indicates polar bears face an increased risk of starvation as a result of spending more time on land during extended ice-free seasons thanks to global climate change. Reuters correspondent Debbie Rajaram reports.
Anthony Pagano is a biologist at the U.S. Geological Survey Polar Bear Research Program and the lead author of the report. He and other scientists monitored more than a dozen bears in Canada's Hudson Bay over a three-week period. They wanted to see how the bears coped while their preferred prey, seals, was out of reach. The bears displayed a range of behaviors. While some conserved energy by resting, others actively searched for alternative food options such as bird and caribou carcasses, berries, and grasses. The study found that nearly all the bears lost weight rapidly, on average just over 2 pounds per day. On top of this, the benefits of land-based foods were offset by the extra energy required for foraging.
That was Reuters correspondent Debbie Rajaram reporting. Hungary's ruling party Tuesday said proposed holding a February 26 vote on the ratification of Sweden's bid to join NATO and said it would support Sweden's accession. Swedish Defense Minister Pål Jonson said Tuesday the development is very welcome. Sweden applied to join NATO in May of 2022 in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Accepting new members to the alliance must be a unanimous decision by existing members, and Hungary is the only country that has yet to approve Sweden's bid. Finland submitted its application at the same time as Sweden and became a NATO member in April of 2023. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.